Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Ksuvos is daf Yedalad. We find ourselves on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where at the Mishnah, he said, she said. This is not exactly he said, she said, like we saw yesterday in yesterday's daf and yesterday's Mishnayos, but basically, once again, we're going to have a statement made by her and then the question of her credibility, whether or not she's believed or she's not believed. And again, remember, party lines are that Rabbi Gamliel, together with Rabbi Elazar, says, Na'menes, that in these cases that we're discussing in our Mishnah, she's believed, she's going to have the credibility, and Rabbi Yoshua takes the other position, which is that she's Eino Neme, she's not believed, and that's going to be the party lines. Not to say that we're going to that's always the case, but in the cases that are being discussed in the Mishnah, those are their positions. So the Mishnah, and you give them the second Mishnah. So they see her talking to somebody, having a conversation. Now that's what the Mishnah says, medaberes, but as you probably can already guess, that's not exactly what we're describing. We're not describing a conversation. We're describing more than a conversation, but exactly how much more than just a simple conversation. Stay tuned, as the Gemara is going to debate that very issue. And they ask her a simple question. Can you identify who that man is? And she says, Ish ploni v'kohenu. So she says, yeah, it's so-and-so, he's a Kohen. Now, Kohen over here does not necessarily mean, I know I made this point yesterday, but let's say it again today. Right, Kohen does not necessarily mean that he is a absolute Kohen. It means just simply that he's not going to disqualify me. I still maintain a degree of kashrus. If I want to, I can marry a Kohen, but I myself am not disqualified. We know the halacha is that if a woman has relations with a man who's forbidden to her, so she becomes now a zona, and she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. So what she's identifying is that this man who I had relations with, I was conversing with him, but this man I had relations with is not going to affect my status. I'm still kashul kahuna. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar are ne'amenes. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar take the position, as they normally do, that ne'amenes, she's believed, she has credibility. And Rabbi Yeshua Amar lo mipi onachayin, ela harezu becheskes ba'ula, l'nesin ala mamzer, ashitavi rai l'dvareha. And Rabbi Yeshua, that catchphrase that he uses time and again, we don't live by her words, meaning we don't know. And as a result of the fact we don't know, we're going to assume the worst. And the worst is, in this particular scenario, that the man she had relations with is either a nesin or a mamzer. Someone is going to disqualify her. And as a result of that, she's no longer allowed to marry a Kohen. That's case number one in the Mishnah. Case number two in the Mishnah, which is going to be nearly identical. Haisamu Beres. Okay, the woman, not married woman. And so she's walking around now and she's pregnant. And now what? And they ask her a simple question. Can you identify who the father of the child is? So her response is, Mish ploni v'kohen hu. So she says, sure, no problem at all. It's from so-and-so and he's a Kohen. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Amar Ne'amenesor again. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar takes the position she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Lomi Pi'ar Nuchayim, Ela HaRezu Becheses Mu'beres L'Nesin L'Mamzer, Achitavi Raya L'Dvareha. And so Rabbi Yeshua again takes the position of she's not believed. The child is either going to be a product of union between her and either an Asin or a Mamzer. Both of those are disqualified people. And therefore the resulting child is going to be a disqualified child. Okay.
What?
Yeah, so that Gemara is going to be bothered by that very question. We have two cases in the Mishnah. The two cases in the Mishnah are nearly identical with one another. Good. So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss that very question.
What is the Nosir Mamzer? Why not just a guy?
It could go either. Could go either way.
Yeah, I'm saying that. Why specific?
Goy, in terms of the halacha, the goy's better.
She'll still be disqualified.
She'll be disqualified, but the child will be perfectly...
Yeah, but we're not talking about the child. We're talking about
talking
about her, no?
In the second case, we may be talking about both.
Okay.
Why wouldn't they believe her, but they believe the stranger? Hey, Mamu. Just because somebody says it.
Well, they're not. It's not her as opposed to anybody else. It's just a question of whether or not she is given full credibility or not. No one's taking it. Meaning that this Mishnah is a little bit different than the other Mishnahs. The other Mishnahs, there was a claim and a counterclaim. Here, it's no claim and counterclaim. Here, they went over to her and they said, okay, you were with a man.
Who went over to her?
The Beis Din's
looking, wants to know who. In other words, you know, she goes to Beis Din, she says, look, I know I have a history, I know I have a past, I know I was with a man, but here's who. Okay. I'm going to be totally upfront. Here's who I was with, and perhaps just to give a little better understanding why are we having this conversation? Let's say she wants to marry Cohen. let's say she, you know, she finds a man, right? A great shidduch, great guy. He's a Kohen. Kohen says, okay, anything in the history you want to share with me? So she says, yeah, I had relations with a man previously, but I'm still fit to marry you. Wait, hold on 1 second. So now they go to Beis Din, and Beis Din asks them, well, who was the man? And she identifies. So she believed. So once again, Rabbi Gamliel says, yes, she is. And Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, she's not. Okay. So, my medaberes. So the obvious question, when we see our Mishnah, and the Mishnah tells us that there was a conversation, so obviously it's euphemistic, but what kind of euphemism does it mean? So Ziri Amar Nistarev, so Ziri says, Stira, Ichun, meaning that the only thing that happened was, not the only thing, but enough to call into question her status, is that she secluded herself with a man. Ichun. Ravasi Amar Nivala, and Ravasi says, no, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. Mishnah is talking more than just that she secluded herself with a man. It means that there were actual witnesses who saw her having relations with another man. Now, Bishlam Lizir Nahdi Tiktakti Medaberes. So now, according to Ziri, I totally get it. Our Mishnah over here is describing two scenarios. One scenario, which is she's secluded. A second scenario, which is she's pregnant. And those are two totally, those are two distinct cases. But Ella Ravasi, my I'm sorry.
No.
Dictani Medaberes. I'm sorry. We're going to get to that point in just a moment. I jumped ahead in terms of the Gemara's point. It works better with the lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Medaberes. Medaberes is conversation. So conversation and seclusion could be one and the same thing. Obviously, seclusion can mean more than that. But at least you understand the language of the Mishnah when the Mishnah says the words medaberes. However, Ella Ravasi, my medaberes. But according to Ravasi, what he understands the Mishnah to mean that they actually had bia. So the Gemara says if that's true, so then the first case and the second case are really identical. So Lishna Maya Kidichsev. And again, what right now, I keep jumping ahead to the next question. And right now, the Gemara is also bothered by the language of Medaberes. So the Gemara says, as far as the language of Medaberes is concerned, the Gemara says that's not a problem. The Mishnah speaks B'Lashon Naki. Right? The Torah speaks B'Lashon Naki. We made this point again and again. There are no words in the Torah that describe going to the bathroom, intimacy between husband and wife. Every time the Torah speaks about it, the Torah speaks about it euphemistically. In other words, the Torah is a very, Lashon HaKodesh is a very modest language. And so here when our Mishnah is describing, our Mishnah is also going to imitate the Torah. The Mishnah is going to speak very modestly. And therefore the Mishnah uses the word Midabaris. But Midabaris just simply means that there were witnesses who saw them having bia. Achla, I'm sorry, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. Achla machtapia, she eats and she wipes her mouth. V'amar lo pa'alti av, she says, I did nothing wrong. So that pasuk in Mishlei, not to be understood literally, it means that she had relations. What is the Mishnah? I'm sorry, what does the Pasuk of Mishlei use to describe relations? Achlo machtapia. She ate, but the Pasuk speaking euphemistically. Our Mishnah also speaking euphemistically, according to Ravasi. Our Mishnah is talking about where there was actual Eidei Bia. Witnesses saw her having relations with a man. The Mishnah just simply uses the word medaberes at Belashon Naki. Just a nice, clean way to say it. A modest way to say it. Now, okay. Now, finally, we're going to get to the question which I keep thinking the Gemara is asking. Bishlam Ziri, Hani Diktani Tarti, Medaberes, and Mubaberes. So according to Ziri, I understand now our Mishnah having two distinct cases because they are two distinct cases. One is secluding herself with a man. The other is actually having relations with a man. Ella Ravasi Tarti Lamali. But according to Ravasi, why do I need two cases? Case one and two are identical. Case number one, she had bia with a man. Case number two, she had bia with a man. It's just how do we know that? How do we arrive at that conclusion? Case number one, the witnesses saw them having bia. Case number two, she's pregnant. They're both excellent testimonies, right? The second may be even better than the first, but they're both testifying to the fact that she had bia with a man. So why then would I have two cases in the Mishnah? Chad al-Hakshir Bav, Chad al-Hakshir Bibita. Answers the Gemara, because one case is coming to tell me that she is still qualified to marry a Kohen, and the second case of the Mishnah is to tell me that her daughter is qualified to marry a Kohen. Now, Hanich Lamanda Amar Ledevra Machshir Bav, Machshir Bibita, great. We're going to see later this morning that's subject to a debate as to whether or not she can testify both about herself and about her daughter. But there's an opinion we're going to see later this morning that says that although she can testify about herself, and although she's extended credibility regarding herself, she is not extended credibility regarding her daughter, Michael Maymar, so then that pshat doesn't work in our Mishnah. And in just a moment, I'm going to explain how in the world could you make that argument. As far as herself is concerned, she's credible, but as far as her daughter is concerned, she's not credible. How do we propose such an argument? So we're going to articulate the argument in just a moment, but let's just get through the Gemara. So, Michael Amema, Ravasi, Sava, Kaman Damar, Ledivra, Machshuba, Machshuba, Bita. Gemara gives a nice and tidy answer, and the Gemara says, look, you're challenging Ravasi. Ravasi happens to be of the opinion that not only can she testify about herself, but she can testify about her daughter as well. So according to Ravasi, perfect, I have two cases in the Mishnah. The first case in the Mishnah is coming to tell me that she can testify regarding herself, that she slept with such and such a man, but that man is not going to disqualify her to Kahuna. Good. And the second case in the Mishnah, she's testifying about her daughter. The unborn daughter that she's going to have, that daughter is also qualified, and she can testify about herself as well. Okay, I know we're going to say this again later this morning, but let's say it again. Let's say it right now. There is an opinion later in the Gemara that says that she could testify about herself, but she can't testify about her daughter. How does that work? How could she have credibility regarding herself, but not regarding her daughter? Aren't the two connected one with another?
No,
that's not. So you know the answer. Good. No, great. It's great. It's where you're holding. And not only are the two connected with one another, they're physically connected to one another, right? Right now, the daughter's inside of her, so they're physically connected. So her status is fine, but her daughter's status is not fine. So Phil knows, and Rashi says it over here, and the Gemara is going to say it later on. But it's just simply the correct answer. This position that she could testify about herself, but not about her daughter, is predicated on chazaka. She has a chazaka, meaning, up until the point before she had Bia, she was perfectly kshera. She had a chazaka of being fit to marry a Kohen. Now something happened, an event happened. She had Bia with a man. Okay, understood, it's inappropriate, beyond inappropriate behavior, but she had Bia with a man. She's coming now to identify the man, but what she's doing is, she's keeping her chazaka. In other words, she had a cheskas kashrus, and granted, now she needs to say something, but in her saying something, she's keeping her chazaka. But that's not true regarding her child. Her child is literally born out of suffolk. We don't know what the status of that child is. That child is a product of a union between her and a man, and we don't know who the man is. So unlike her, where she has a chazaka, and all she's doing is maintaining her chazaka, but regarding the child, we simply do not know. Is this child the product of a kosher union or non-kosher union? So as we'll see later this morning, there's an opinion that says that although she can testify and is afforded credibility regarding herself, that's not true regarding her child. But as the Gemara just pointed out, right now Ravasi does not subscribe to that viewpoint. Ravasi says that she can testify regarding herself and her child, and that's the pshat in our Mishnah. Okay. Amle Rapapa Labai Liziri Damar Maim Debers Nistara. So the Gemara says, let's think about Ziri's opinion just a little bit. Ziri says that the first case of the Mishnah is talking about seclusion. The witnesses did not see Bia. All the witnesses saw was her secluding herself with a man in a room. That's all they saw. What did the Mishnah say? Machlokis between Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Yoshua. What's Rabbi Yoshua's position?
No.
She's no longer allowed to marry a Kohen. That's it. I mean, think about what we're saying. A woman, all she needs to do is just simply be alone with a man. And we don't know who the man is. Rabbi Yeshua says, from that point going forward, she can't marry a Kohen. Now, that, just in of itself, that's in a serious opinion. The Gemara says, that's hard to imagine. So, Ziri, Damar, Maimed, Abaras, Nistar, Rav, Amar, Rabbi Yeshua, La, Mehemna, Hamarav. And not only that, says the Gemara, but it doesn't conform with the halacha. The halacha is, the Gemara quotes the name of Rav, Makin ala Yechud, Vein Oster ala Yechud. If a man violates Yechud, okay, so he violated Nistar. He's going to get Makas. But we're not going to make her usser. In other words, statuses don't change because of yichud. Yichud is an isser. Yichud is subject to malchus. But no one's status gets changed because of yichud. Ain't osur in ala yichud. So let me go to Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara now wants to know, does Rabbi Yeshua not agree with that? It's hard to imagine. The Gemara says, afilatem Rabbi Yeshua mala asu biyuchsin. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua agrees with that statement. Nobody's status gets changed because of Yichud, because they violate the Isser of Yichud. You violate the Isser of Yichud, alright, so you violate an Isser, which obviously is not good. But your status doesn't change, and even Rav Yeshua agrees to that. However, in terms of marrying Kohen, Rav Yeshua says, Mala Asa B'Yuchsen. And we've seen this idea again and again throughout Shas, and that is that extra measures, extra levels of purity, sanctity, and preservation of lineage are done when marrying a Kohen. Even though this woman is not a psula when she secludes herself with a man, and even Rav Yehoshua would fundamentally agree with that point. But in terms of allowing her to marry a Kohen, chumrah, as an extra stringency, as an extra level of protection, so she can't marry a Kohen.
Well, she's not a psula, she can't marry a Kohen anyway.
She could she in other words,
what? I mean, Almana can.
No, but she in other words, if for just yichud, that doesn't mean they had relations. It's possible they had relations. Doesn't mean they had relations. And it's and right. And again, the halacha is her status doesn't change just because she had yichud with a man. And Rabbi Yeshua says it's true, but still, as a chumrah, she can't marry a kohen. Okay, makes sense. So let's just quickly summarize what we have so far. We have a Mishnah. We have two cases in the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah is slightly ambiguous. It says medaberes. What does that mean, medaberes? So we have two opinions amongst the Amoraim. Ze'ir is of the opinion that our Mishnah, the first case of the Mishnah, is talking about seclusion. Second case is where she had bia, and we have excellent evidence to that fact because she's pregnant. And according to Rav Asi, the first case of the Mishnah is where they had bia, and the second case is where they had bia. According to Rav Asi, why two cases in the Mishnah? One to be Machsheh her, and the other to be Machsheh her daughter. That's what we have so far in terms of a pshat in the Mishnah. Meitzvei, the Gemara is going to challenge. We're on the last line of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Meitzvei Rosh Nechnasayim Achale Seser. So, the Brice here talks about how she secludes herself with somebody. O Lechorva, they won't go into a private area. Or, the word O, top of the next Amud. O Lechorva, or they go into a ruined house. Okay, an abandoned house. And the question is, okay, can you identify this man? So she says, please, that's my cousin. We're mishpacha. Okay, in other words, the Mishnah here, the Brice over here is just giving an example. Yes, I can identify who that was. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Amrim Ne'emenes, Rabbi Yishor, Amr Elohim, Pio, Nuchayim, Elah, Hareza, Becheskes, Bulu, Nesin, Lamamzer, Achitavi, Raila, Dvareha. The Brice ends off with the same general positions that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua take. Rabbi Gamliel says she's believed. Rabbi Yoshua says she's not believed. Why are we bringing this Brice? It's really a repetition of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why we're bringing in the Brice. Bishlam, Eliziri, Haina, Diktani, Tarte. According to Ze'iri, there are two cases in the Braisa, and according to Ze'iri, that's perfect. But Diktani Tartel, let's say so Ola Chorva. Ella Ravasi Dharma Nivala Tartil Amale. But according to Ravasi, remember, according to Ravasi, what's the case in which there's a debate? Only when witnesses saw they had Bia. That's it. Now again, our Mishnah has two cases because our Mishnah is talking about one to be Machsheh her and one to be Machsheh her daughter. But in this Braisa, we're only talking about her. So why are there two scenarios in the Braisa? According to Rav Asi, there doesn't need to be two scenarios. There only needs to be one scenario. So Chada, that's a question against Rav Asi. Chada Ketani L'Seser D'Chorva. So the Gemara is going to try to tweak the Braisa. The Braisa is talking about Seser D'Chorva. Okay, melting the two cases into one. So the Gemara says, Vahala Seser or Lechorva Ketani. Gemara says, yeah, but that's not the language of the Braisa. Right, the Gemara over here is not ready to tinker with the language of the Braisa. So, Chad Lechorva Demasa Vechad Lechorva Dedabra Utsricha. So the Gemara says, no, you're right. There are two cases, but I'll tell you why there are two cases. We're talking about two different types of ruined houses. One's in the city, an abandoned house in the city, and the other is an abandoned house somewhere out of town. And they're both necessary. And I'll tell you why they're both necessary. De'i ashmi'inan chorva damas ba'kamach sharamin gamliel mishum derav cherim etzla. So the Gemara says, as it relates to Rabbi Gamliel, so I can make the argument that according to Rabbi Gamliel, when do we believe her? When the population is generally a population of people who are kosher. Aval chorba dedabra derav psul meitzlaim amode leila Rabbi Yoshua. But when you go out of town, so there's a small population of Jews, and most of the other people who are living in Yenemsvelt, so they're not good for her. When good for her, meaning that her status will change if she has relations with them. So I may have made the argument that Rabbi Gamliel would agree to Rav Yehoshua. And then we could just simply argue the other direction. Where out, if it's a ruined house out in the middle of nowhere, so Rav Yehoshua says, okay, she's disqualified. Why? Because look at who her possible companions would be. People that would change her status. That would make her a psula l'kohen. But in the city where the general population of people who are kosher, so I might have thought that Rav Yehoshua would agree to Rabbi Gamliel, so that's why there are two cases in the Braisa, just to make sure that we fully understand that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua are going to maintain their positions regardless of who the population is. Okay. Meisve, the Gemara now is going to challenge once again. So here we have a brace, it's a Tosefta. And again, what's going to happen is as follows. We're going to go through the Tosefta line by line. We're going to get to the end of the Tosefta, and it's going to get a little choppy at the end. The Gemara is going to smooth out the end of the Braisa, and after all said and done, then once again we're going to see whether or not this Braisa fits in better with the Pshat of Ze'iri or the Pshat of Rav Asi. Again, just to review, Ze'iri says that the first case of our Mishnah is talking about seclusion, that's all the witnesses saw, and according to Rav Asi, the first case of the Mishnah is talking about Bia, where the witnesses saw that they actually had Bia. So here we go, again, a Braisa, it's a Tosefta. Zu'edesh Ha'ishik She'erolah. This is testimony the woman's believed. Okay, that obviously is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehoshua Amenu Ne'emenes. And Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, she's not believed. Amalem Rabbi Yehoshua Etamodem B'shvuyah Shenishbeis V'yeshla Edim Shenishbeis V'yomeres Tare Ani Shenu Ne'emenes. So Rabbi Yehoshua counted and he says, imagine, a woman is taken captive, and we know she's taken captive. There are witnesses that said that she was taken into captivity. And now she's held captive by non-Jews. What would you say? Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar say, okay, you're right. In that case, we would say that she had relations with one of her captors, and she would be Pasula Lekahuna. Of course, we would agree with you. Amrulo, they say to him, Aval. You know, every time you see the word Aval, you know what that means. You're right, but. Right. You're right. But, Aval, Mahefreshesh Ben Zelazu. But you can't compare that case, a woman taken into captivity, in our case. Alright, listen carefully to what they said. In the case of captivity, there were witnesses that said they were taken into captivity. Here, there were no witnesses. Okay, stay tuned. We're gonna come back to that line. Amar lehem af lezu yesh.
Witnesses so go in, but not to be it.
Okay. I mean, I know you're right.
They're also the same thing. They saw being captive, but the chazuka.
Okay, we're gonna come back to it. Amar lahem av lezu yesh edim, and then the response was, no, there are edim over here as well. Says Rabbi Yehoshua back to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. Sharei kresa ben shina. She's pregnant. Right, great expression of the Gemara. Right, the stomach is like right between her teeth. Okay, it's a little hyperbolic, but in other words, she's pregnant. So Amrula Rov of Dekochavim Prutzim Barayosim. So they say back to him, yeah, but when it comes to the Ov Dekochavim, so the Prutzim Barayos, meaning she had relations. Amrula Hemin Epitropos Larayosim, and he says back to them, there's no way that we can ever ensure that they kept their modesty. That last exchange in the Braisa between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar against Rabbi Yeshua, the exchange over there, the last two exchanges are really difficult to understand, doesn't seem to flow. But stay tuned, we're going to come back to those last lines in just a moment. And then the Braisa punctuates by saying the following. This is all as it relates to her. But the child that she's going to end up having as a result of that union, that child is a shesuki. Now the word shesuki generally means that child does not have a good status. Meaning when asked the question, who's your father? So what do they say? And the child starts pointing to a guy, thinking that that guy is a father. So they say to the child, shetuki, be quiet. Meaning that's not him. In other words, we don't know. The one who you think is your father is not your father. Okay. Now, we'll come back to that as well. But first things first, however, just a simple pshat in the Braisa. What was that last exchange between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua. My kamar lehu and my kamar hadrilei. What did he say to them? What did they say back to him? Okay, so hachi kamar lei. So here's what they said. Hey shavtan olam ubaris mati shiven olam adaberis. Okay, remember. What was the comparison point? A woman taken into captivity, taken by captors, witnesses saw that she was taken into captivity. Fine. And what happens in that case over there? Rabbi Gamliel says, yeah, you're right. But there were witnesses. So the Gemara says, so now we're going to go on to the next part of the exchange. Next part of the exchange is, Hey Shavtanu Alham Uberes Mati Shivein Alham Adaberes. Look, the woman taken into captivity, she for sure had relations with her captors. Right? You're right. But, and Rabbi Gamliel says, and I'll tell you what, we'll even concede a little bit on the two. There are two cases in our Mishnah. One case is where she's pregnant, which means that she had relations. But what about the first case in the Mishnah? In the first case in the Mishnah, it was just occlusion.
Just talking.
Right. It's not the same. So Amar Lahem Midaberes Hainu Shvuya. So to that, Rabbi Yehoshua says, "Come on, right? Let's not be so innocent." In other words, if you see a man and a woman secluded, even though you didn't see anything else in that, but that's the same thing as a woman held captive. Meaning, again, same thing. Meaning, we know that it results in bia. Amru lo shani shvui the rov of the kochavim proves them by rayosim. Once again, Rabbi Gamliel says you can't compare those two cases. A woman taken to captivity by goyim, come on, they're immoral to begin with. Amru lahem hanami kevin distanter in apatros la rayos. Rabbi Yeshua says back to Rabbi Gamliel, okay, I understand. You're right. But when a man and a woman are secluded with one another, so there's the Yetzirah, Kadosh Baruch Hu created Yetzirah, and the Gemara's expression is, in Apotropos La Arayos. Like, there's no way that we really can say that they did not have relations. Probably, they did end up having relations.
When they talk about being taken into captivity, they're not talking about large groups of women like during the Holocaust.
No, the general idea of the Gemara over here is that when a woman's taken into captivity, so the chances are and the probability is that she was violated. That's all the Gemara is saying. To which then she can't...
talking about a single captivity.
Yeah, but you're right. And the basic idea then is that unfortunately she can't marry Cohen going forward. Okay. Gemara relates elsewhere that Shmuel's daughters were taken into captivity and okay, anyway. So Ketani Miyatarte. Wait, let me just finish with the Gemara's flow. The Gemara says, Ketani Miatarte. What just happened? The Gemara over here in the Braisa, after everything was clarified, did you see what happened? They're clearly in the dialogue between Rabbi Yeshua and Gamliel, they were entertaining that there were two cases in the Mishnah. And Tarte Medaberis and Muberis. One case is conversation, but it's clear from the Braisa. Conversation means, not exactly conversation, but in other words, seclusion. That's what midaberes means. And the next case in the Mishnah, mu'baris, means bia. And that's good, meaning good. Meaning that works out great for Zeiri. Zeiri says that's the pshat in the Mishnah. Tiyufta de Ravasi, tiyufta. But the Gemara says, but for Ravasi, however, that's very difficult. Because remember, Ravasi said the two cases in the Mishnah are basically the same. The first case is where the witnesses saw Bia. Second case is where the witnesses saw Bia. In both cases, the witnesses saw Bia. And again, why do you need both? We go back to the Gemara's answer previously, one for her and one for her daughter. But the Ravasi says, those are the two cases in the Mishnah. It's clear from the exchange and the dialogue that we just saw together in the Braisa, that's not true. The second case is talking about Bia. The first case is just seclusion. Okay, yeah, David.
Right. First question is, why can't you testify, even though I was captured, I didn't have any relation, just like with the other person. So when that second one,
I don't know. The assumption is they did.
Did you lose your husband?
They ask the son, who's your father? How does the son know who the father is? I don't know who my father is.
Right, so first, in terms of the first question, so the general assumption, the presumption is that a woman is no longer whatever. She loses her sanctity when she's taken into captivity. That's a general assumption. Second question, the Gemara asked a question in a number of places. Meaning when I point to a man and say that's my father, how do I know? So there's a principle in halacha called chazaka, presumption. So the presumption is that's who you've been saying your father is for all these years. That's your father. And not only that, right? The Gemara says, just to give you one simple example, right? Hitting your parent could be a capital offense. You hit him and you create a wound. So chabura, so it's a capital offense. So make aviv v'imam mos yumas. Okay, so it's a capital offense to hit your parent. So let's say you hit your father, and let's say you cause a chabura, and you're taking the basin, and you say to the basin, look, can I make the following defense? Am I? That's not my father. That's right. I know he says he's my father, but come on, how do we know? Okay, before DNA testing. So how do I know that's my father? So the Gemara asks that question. The Gemara says chazaka. We have a general presumption by the Shisuki. So every time he points to a man, they say to him, no, that's not him. So that's.
Is it they say to him, or is her mother, the mother says?
Generally speaking, the mother. And
because in that case, it's no question.
Okay.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
One question is, it's not clear to me. It seems like a woman who is a grusha cannot marry a kohen, right?
Right.
A grusha. But how come in this discussion, it seems like a woman having a relation out of wedlock is, as long as the man is kosher, she can marry a kohen?
She can. What do you mean?
She can.
Yeah. Unless...
She's not allowed, but she's allowed.
That's just simply how... We have a rule book. It's called the Torah. The Torah says a grusha can marry a kohen. A woman who had premarital relations can. Now you remember there is one opinion which we saw in Yevamos that says that a woman who had premarital relations can marry a kohen. That's the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. But we don't possibly. The Gemara said very clearly we don't possibly like Rabbi Elazar. But that's just simply how. That's just.
Is it the Rabbana or is it the Raita? I mean, is it like the
Raita? Why no tradition? Grusha? That's a.
Or is it actually in the
Grusha is a pasuk in the Torah.
No, that's
Grusha,
but what about the other wedlock? Is it in the Chumash itself?
No, again, premarital relations does not disqualify her to Kahuna.
But is it derived from something, or is it actually sitting in the
Torah? In other words, in order for her to be disqualified to Kahuna, she has to be something. Meaning, she has to be a Grusha, a Zona, or Chalala. One of those three things. If she doesn't fall under one of those categories, so then she's not disqualified to Kahuna. Out of wedlock, again, Rabbi Lazar, there's one opinion. Rabbi Lazar says, relations out of wedlock makes her a zona. Uh-huh. But we don't pasken like that. That's not the halacha. She has to either be a grusha, a zona, or chala in order for her to be disqualified to kahuna. One of those three. Let's go. The tepuklei, we're in the Gemara. We are on Yigimel Amid Beis. We're about 2/3 of the way down. Gemara now continues. Tepuk lei dasam the rav psula metzla v'achar rav ksher metzla. So the Gemara says, you know, we have not yet entertained the idea that let's look at who's around her. Meaning, is it going to make a difference whether the majority of people around her are kosher or apostle? So the Gemara says it doesn't matter. So the Gemara says it doesn't matter. It's simply not going to be a factor in terms of determining whether or not she's extended credibility. Rabbi Gamaliel says she's extended credibility, period. Rabbi Yeshua says she's not extended credibility, period. And in terms of the population that's around her, it's not going to impact the halacha. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, divrei ha-machshir ba-machshir ba-bita, divrei ha-posel ba-posel ba-bita. As I promised... look, I even delivered. The Gemara now has a debate regarding the status of her daughter. We said that according to Rabbi Gamaliel, she has extended credibility for herself. Rabbi Yochanan says that according to Rabbi Gamaliel, not only she believed regarding herself, she believed regarding her daughter as well. Rabbi Lazar, Omer, L'divrei Machshava, Posel Bebita. And Rabbi Lazar says no. Although she's believed regarding herself, she's not really believed regarding her daughter. We already gave the Svara once today. Let's give the Svara a second time today. Amar Rabba Maitama de Rabbi Lazar. Bishlami is like chazaka de kashrus, bita lace la chazaka de kashrus. As it relates to her, she has a cheskas kashrus. As it relates to the daughter does not have a cheskas kashrus. The daughter is born, literally born out of Suffolk. So Rav Elazar asks a very simple question against Rav Yochanan. Remember the braisa that we saw just about 5-10 lines ago? The Tosefta. And the Tosefta concluded by saying that even the Rabbi Gamaliel extends credibility to her, but as far as the daughter is concerned, the daughter's a shesuki. That's how the braisa ended. It's a braisa. The Brisa said the daughter is a Shesuki. My love Shesuki apostle. Now what does Shesuki mean? Generally, Shesuki means that the daughter is disqualified. So even though Rabbi Gamaliel says that the mother can testify about herself, sounds pretty clear from the Brisa. She cannot testify about the daughter. Lo Shesuki v'kasher. The Gemara gives a pshat. The Gemara says, no, well, you know what the Brisa means? It means Shesuki, but kasher. What does that mean? Rashi explains. Rashi says that what it means is that in terms of identifying herself as being a Bas Kohen, that she cannot do. She cannot say that she's a Bas Kohen. She cannot claim an entitlement to Truma. She cannot make any type of claim whatsoever that she is a Bas Kohen. However, at the same time, we're not going to say that the father, the unknown father, is a puzzle. Is somebody disqualified, rendering her disqualified? Umi ikus shesuki kasher. The Gemara says, really? That pshat, it's a tenable pshat? Gemara says, sure it is. In Kiddushmo. Damashmo, asar kohanim omdim. So let's say we have 10 kohanim. Upir shechem ehem ubal. And one of them separates and has relations. All we're doing over here in this case is we're just constructing a scenario where we know. We don't know who the father is, but we know who the possible candidates are, and of all the possible candidates, they're all kohanim. Ubal avlat shesuki, the child is a shesuki. Ma shesuki. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that he doesn't receive a portion to his father's Yerusha? Pshita, the Gemara says, of course he doesn't. We don't know who the father is. It means that he does not get the rights and privileges and entitlements of a Kohen. And why not? Because the pasuk says, "Vayitzalo zarachar brisku nasolam." Misha zaram yuchas acharav. Yes, this is Shein zaram yuchas acharav. We saw this in Yavamos. We're going to see now. We're seeing here again. In order to have a Kohen with rights and privileges of Kohen, so you have to know. You have to be able to identify your father. If you cannot identify your father, you are not entitled to the rights and privileges of a Kohen. That's what the Brisa means when it says that the child is a shesuki, meaning not that the child is pasul. She can testify about herself and about her child. So says Rav Yochanan within the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. All it means is that the child is not entitled to the rights and privileges of a Kohen. Okay. And we end off, we have more to go, but we end off this discussion with halacha. A halachic case. Hahu arus varus aso dasul kamei de Rav Yosef. Man and woman are betrothed to one another. They went through the first stage of marriage, erusin. They're not allowed to have relations with one another, as we've said already a number of times. There's an issur de rabbanan for an arus to have relations with a zarusa. I know in the province of Yehuda they did, but generally speaking, it's an issur de rabbanan. And here they go to Rav Yosef, and she's pregnant. So he amra mi. I'm sorry. Lakamid de Rav Yosef. He amra mi ne. So she points to the arus and she says, "That's dad." Vu amar. And so it seems like a very easy case, because what does he say? In minai. And he says, yep, I'm the proud father. So I don't know how proud he is. They should have waited until the chuppah, but okay. I'm Rav Yosef, lamai nechushla. So Rav Yosef says, this is a really easy case. What's there to be worried about? Chada da kamoda. First of all, admission. So, and ve'od, ham Rav Yehuda, ham Rishma, alach, grem and gamliel. And step two is that we know, even if he didn't admit it, we know that the halacha falls like Rabbi Gamliel, that she's extended credibility. So if she identifies him as the father, so mazel tov, that's the father. So even if he didn't agree. Okay, so Rav Yosef says that was a very easy case. Next time, could you please bring me, I don't know if he's really asking for it, but next time bring me a harder case. That one was easy. So Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says, I don't like the way you constructed your argument. So Amalei Abaye Vaha, Kilo Moda, Machshir Rami Gamliel. Now, Rav Yosef, do you hear what you just said? You said even if the husband didn't agree. Now, in this case, he did. But even if the husband didn't agree, so we're going to we'd still believe her because we know the halacha falls like Rami Gamil. V'amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shinana halacha Rami Gamil. Meanwhile, we know that Shmuel said to his Talmud Rav Yehuda Shinana, that was his nickname for him, halacha Rami Gamil. The halacha does in fact go like Rami Gamil. However, atlo tavid uvda adi ikarov chirm etzla. But you cannot rule like Rami Gamliel unless there's one other variable. What other variable do you need in order to rule like Rami Gamliel? You need the population of people to be around to be Rov Ksherim. Mm-hmm. Then and only then should you rule like Rami Gamliel. But if all you have is just her word, and let's say the place they live, it's not Rov Ksherim, so then you shouldn't rule like Rami Gamliel. So what Abai is objecting to is what Rav Yosef said. And even if he didn't agree, hey, the halacha is like Rami Gamliel, Abai says to Rav Yosef, not so fast. You need another variable in order to go like Rami Gamliel.
How
does Shmuel know that? Okay, what's...
How did he know that Rami Gamliel required a majority?
Agreed. So Shmuel says... Abai got it based on a statement that Shmuel made to Rav Yehuda. But your question is still valid. Meaning, so how does Shmuel know? So the Amar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shina Halachi Rav Gamliel Vadlo Tavid Uv Dadik Rav Ksherim Etzla V'Hacha Rav Psulim Etzla Ula Tamech. So the Gemara says, okay, but based on your logic, Tikshalach Higufa Halacha V'Adlo Lo Avid Uvda. Essentially, how do you Gemara ask your very question? I understand. If the halacha falls like Rami Gamliel, so you know what that means. It means that the halacha falls like Rami Gamliel. And Rami Gamliel himself is totally irrespective of any other variable, meaning from Rami Gamliel's standpoint, if she identifies who the father is, she's believed. So, Ella, my Isaac Lememar, halachatchila, hadiavad. So the Gemara says, really what we're saying is as follows. Meaning the halacha does fall like Rami Gamliel. But we are going to make a distinction in terms of lechatchila versus abidiyavin. What does that mean? Rashi explains. The case of lechatchila goes like this. A Kohen is looking for his shidduch. He's looking for his besharet. And he finds a girl. Great girl. She only has one flaw in her, in that she had previously had relations with a man. And it's known. Meaning, let's assume that it's she admits it. She whatever. Let's make the case even a little more exciting, a little more dramatic. Let's say she had a baby with a man. Okay, so granted. Okay, but Baruch Hashem, we all have flaws. every single one of us. So it happens to be that this one it's pretty obvious. But anyway, I'm just explaining the Gemara. So this woman had relations with a man, and she identifies who it was. So and again, when her identification of the man, obviously it's important, but for this particular question, we don't really care who the guy is. All we want to know is it wasn't a mamzer, it wasn't a sin, it wasn't a guy. In other words, is she afforded and extended the credibility to say that she's still ksher l'kahuna? So lichatchila, this is what Shmuel's really saying. Lichatchila, don't rely on Rami Gamliel's viewpoint. Rashi, take a look at Rashi inside. Rashi says lechatchila. See, second line down. Im ba kohen limlach lebeis din. The kohen goes over to beis din to ask the question: can I marry her? Lo sharina le lekonsa ela im ken ayu rov ksherim etzla. She wants to identify the man. She wants to say she's ksher lekahuna. Don't do it unless you can throw in another variable, and that second variable is rov ksherim. But lechatchila, don't just rely on Rami Gamliel. However, b'di'eved, next Rashi, imnas a kohen v'lo nimlach. Let's say the kohen marries a girl, a woman, and this woman had previously had relations with another man, and the woman is telling you, I'm still fine. B'di'eved, you can rely on Rami Gamliel's position. Meaning, makes it a little bit better, Hedy. Meaning, fundamentally, the halacha does fall like Rami Gamliel, but a Kohen goes to Basin and asks what to do, Basin is only going to rule like Rabbi Gamliel lechatchila, only with another variable. And that second variable is only if it's Rav Ksher. No, the lechatchila b'diavad is whether or not a Kohen married this woman. Meaning this woman had relations previously with a man.
Right.
Who the man was, we don't know. She's telling us who the man was. Okay. And lechatchila, no, lechatchila is now, let's say she finds a bresher, and a bresher happens to be a Kohen. Can this Kohen marry her? So lechatchila, the answer is, you need another variable. Without the other variable, the base and the rav will tell the Kohen, she's not your bresher. Go find somebody else. However, if let's say they didn't ask the question, let's say the Kohen married this woman, and then they go to a rav, okay, so the rav will say, look, you should have asked me before, but now that we're here, so you can keep her as a wife, as long as she identifies that the man was not an apostle.
Okay.
And again, that's the machlok between Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, whether or not we extend a credibility towards the daughter as well. I didn't look up the halacha. Okay, adika rok shem etzav, v'achra psil etzav. The Hanami Kedi Avidami, and the Gemara points out this case over here, meaning, remember, how did this whole case started? A scenario with a Arus and Arusa who came to the Kohen. And over here, it's like a case of Bidi Avid. I mean, they already were Mekudeshes to one another, and she's pregnant. Okay. So the Gemara now is going to be bothered because we have a Mishnah in Adios. So let's do the following. Let's just learn through the Mishnah in Adios, and let's see that Rabbi Yeshua seems to be inconsistent. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra al Amanas Isa. You have the widow of an Isa. She was a widow and she was married to a man she may or may not have been okay to have been married to. Shehi k'sher l'kahuna. It's okay. This widow can go ahead and marry a Kohen. What's the case over here? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shehi ba mikoch safek chalal, kidlakaman. She nitma ba safek chalal, kigon. She zarek bal ima rishon, la get safek karavlo, safek karavlo. So the case over here is the following case. She married a man, the man that she married may or may not have been a chalal. What is a halal? A halal is a Kohen who is hallowed of Kedusha. I mean, the word halal actually from the same word hallow. He has no Kedusha's kahuna. For example, a Kohen marries a Grusha. Okay? Their child may be a Kohen in name, but not a Kohen in status. Okay? Is what's called a halal. Okay? Halal has relations with a woman, she becomes a halalo. Okay? So, So the example over here is as follows. A man may or may not have divorced a woman, right? Wanted to end the relationship, had to get through the get in her general direction. Okay? We're going to see this a lot in get. We don't know whether the get landed closer to him or closer to her. If the get landed closer to him, they weren't divorced. Get landed closer to her, they were divorced. I'm simplifying. You need a couple more details, but I'm just simplifying right now. Then, after the throwing of the get, he then dies. This woman may or may not be a grusha, may or may not be an amana. This woman then goes ahead and marries a Kohen. Okay? The child of that union may or may not be a halal. Everyone following so far? I know. It's a little bit intricate. But safek harvla, safek harvla, umeitz benim sezu safek grusha, safek amana, benisitz Kohen. This woman married a Kohen, I'm reading Rashi. The holy mimenu ben. And then they have a child. Zeu safek halal. So this child now is a safek halal. Okay. Hey, Rav Yehoshua, al amanaso shel zeh, shikshera. The widow of this man, okay, this man who was a product of a confused relationship. So this man is a safek halal. So if this man dies, his widow is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So, what do you see over here? Amam mukmina la achazaka, achazaka. The widow who married him, had a cheskes kashrus, and after the marriage is over, after her husband's dead, still has a cheskas kashrus. Let's go back to that Mishnah in Adios. Hey, Rav Yeshua, Rav Yehuda ben Bezerel Amanas Yisa Sheik Sher Lekuna. She's allowed to marry a Kohen. So, what do you see over here? Our Mishnayos has Rav Yehoshua saying, we don't believe her, we don't believe her, we don't believe her. Meanwhile, the Mishnah in Adios, Rav Yehoshua says, she married a Safek. If she says it's okay, it's okay. Why? Gemara says the cases are fundamentally different. The case over there in the Mishnah in Adios, she marries a man. Marriage, she obviously is interested in institution, fidelity, meaning this is a good woman. If she's going to marry a man, she's going to do the due diligence to make sure that whoever she marries is good for her. Good. The man is possibly a halal. She did the research. Here in our Mishnah, what are we talking about? We're talking about a woman who secluded herself with a man, had relations with a man, not under the institution of marriage. And now Rav Yehoshua says, and now you want to extend credibility to her to identify who the man is? Not so fast. That's not. She obviously is not that worried about who she's with if she's not doing it under the institution of marriage. So Rav Yehoshua, the Gemara notes a basic difference between the Mishnah in Adios and our Mishnah. Tomorrow, more about that Mishnah in Adios and more about the credibility.